guys very much for joining me here this evening. This is a pre-recorded call, so you folks who are listening in live, you can't ask questions, but if you had been listening in live, you would have heard me talk live to the COO of Pixie, pixie.com, P-I-X-S-Y, talking to Kane Jones. Kane, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm good. Thank you very much for joining me. You guys are a company that started up in 2014. You're based out of Berlin. Give us a little bit of background of how the company came to be.
Sure. So our founder, Daniel Foster, he's a professional photographer and an entrepreneur. He was struggling with managing where and how his photos were used online, finding lots of cases of theft, unauthorized use, trying to manage this on a scale across the whole internet, and then doing anything about it, was not the easiest process.
Yeah.
He set out to solve that problem. Fast forward now, it's sort of 3 years. We are 25,000 users strong from 72 countries, and we offer two core products. So one is our Find platform. So you as a photographer, a creative, a web shop, an image owner, you would upload your photos to our service, and then we deliver back matches of your work anywhere we find on the public internet. So we have a crawling technology that finds all of these matches, delivers them back to you to review and decide if any of these are authorized use, if there's unauthorized use. And then we give you a bunch of tools and services to manage these cases. We have an automated takedown service. So if this is an image that you just want taken offline, you've realized it's on a site that you never approved, we have an automated service which sends those automated notices and gets that taken offline. Or our most popular service is our case resolution services. And we have a team of IP and copyright specialists who process these cases with the aim of recovering compensation on your behalf. So let's say a business might be using your image, submitting that case to us, Pixie takes over, we do all the hard work for you. We partner with 26 law firms around the globe, and we try to get a positive resolution for you, the image taken down, and some compensation.
So you're out in the world, creating new and awesome images.
The process, let's talk a little bit about the back-end process. Nowadays, with the issues of privacy and those kinds of concerns, you said earlier that I upload my images to you guys. How does that happen, and do I have to worry about you guys having all my images?
Very, very good question. So we make it incredibly transparent in our terms and conditions that you are always the owner. Uploading a copy of your imagery to our service is only for us to use it as a reference for the scanning. We want to make that very, very clear. If you are to connect one of your own sources, so we actually have 12 different import sources. You can connect your Flickr, your website, your 500px, your photo shelter. In those situations, we don't even store a copy. We just reference the image over the public API that these services offer. But yeah, it's a very good question, and you're always the owner of your content.
So when you say I have to upload these images, it's not actually me sitting here with my 4-terabyte drive uploading individual images to Pixie.com server. You're going to the services I already use, like Flickr, like 500px, Instagram, and grabbing either the image itself or representation of the image to put on your servers. Am I understanding that correctly?
Exactly. So we have the 12 import sources. However, you may want to upload them from your 12-terabyte drive if you so desire. We have the manual upload facility, or we have these automatic integrations.
Now, when it comes to the process, it was very easy, folks. I was telling Kane earlier that my friend Jared Earle had mentioned Pixie on Twitter. And I asked him about it, and he said it was a really simple process. It was a typical sign-up of things. And then you just link your accounts from Flickr or Instagram to Pixie. And you don't have to do all of them either. You can do whichever ones that you so choose. Maybe you want your Instagram photos up for free to anyone to grab, or you want to lock down your Flickr account. You can do it that way. It was a very simple, easy process. And more importantly, it's free, isn't it, Kane?
Absolutely. So, I mean, we believe that you should be in control of where and how your work's used. We don't have any sort of expensive lock-in contracts. You can upload 500 images and have them protected for free, synchronize 500 photos, and then it's up to you how you want to deal with that. You may want to deal with that on your own outside of Pixie. you may simply want to send the takedown, or you might want our case team to manage that on your behalf.
Why would you choose not to let you guys manage it? Why would I want to go through the hassle on my own?
Very good question.
Well, it's my job, dude.
it's certainly our most popular service. There are some instances where it might just be a photo. It might be a photo of your family, of your children. You just want it taken offline.
No.
You don't want to go through a lengthy or a legal procedure, or you don't want compensation. You just want it taken off. It's your property. And that's why we give you the suite of tools so you can choose.
So not every image is, shall we say, lawyer worthy. You're not going to get money from every single image that you post online. Sometimes you just want someone, as you said, to take it off their website. They've grabbed it either intentionally or unintentionally and are using it on their blog or their Facebook, whatever it might be. And you might be, that's a picture of my kid. Don't do that kind of stuff. And Pixie will help with that.
Exactly. So you raise a very good point. Not every case is a strong legal case. In the world we live in, there certainly needs to be a commercial motive behind what we consider would be a strong case. Is somewhere a business is using your photo, they are getting a commercial gain from the use of that image, and in those situations, it's a very strong case, and the law is on your side. It's a little bit different if your photo has ended up on a private website or another person's Facebook, for example. That's where we see the takedown is much more appropriate. There's also legal frameworks for that takedown procedure, but recovering compensation in those situations is very unlikely.
I'm talking to Pixie.com's COO, Kane Jones. The website is Pixie.com, PIXSY.com. Check it out for yourself. You can always sign up. Again, it doesn't cost anything to sign up. And the other thing that's I love about this, it's not just for professional photographers. You don't have to be a world-renowned pro photographer, A, to use the service, or B, to have your photo stolen, do you?
Absolutely. We see in our customers every walk of life. We see people who are just concerned about their privacy on social media, right up to award-winning photographers who are getting commissioned $20,000 per photo type works. And that's really why we built the service. We believe everyone should be in control of their content online.
The Twitter account, by the way, for Pixie is PixieHQ, PIXSYHQ. Very responsive Twitter account, too, by the way. I just want to let you guys know that. I like when companies get back to you when you ask questions or make comments to them on Twitter. The other aspect of this that is important for people to realize is that Pixie gets paid, but I don't pay them. How do you guys make the money on this stuff?
Very good question. So, as you say, it's free to join the platform. It's free to have the matches delivered back to you. You can submit cases to us. So if you do find a commercial case where you want us to represent you on your behalf, it's free to submit that to us. We only take a fee if we are successful in recovering compensation. Mm-hmm. So, we're incentivized to get a positive outcome just as much as you are, because that's where we get paid. And if we do recover compensation, our fee for that is 50% of the recovered amount.
Now, that seems to be awfully high, but is that industry standard, or is that just the number you guys have pulled out of your butts?
That is industry standard. And I think the interesting point to note there is that case will come to us. It'll be prepared. We'll do the legally compliant evidence collection. We basically do all the hard work. We upfront any fees or expenses that might be involved in that case. And we've gone ahead and negotiated amazing deals with 26 law firms around the world who will represent you and the case. That's all part of our service and fees.
That's one of the things that really surprised me, and I guess it shouldn't have, was that I did, after Jared Earle pointed out that he had found an image. And by the way, Jared got £3,000, he's in the UK, £3,000 for his image. And Jared is a nominally professional photographer, but this is the kind of image that he did not give permission for the company to use the image, but also he didn't know that they were using the image. He had no idea. Jared is a working guy, a working photographer, so he doesn't have time to search the internet for his images, and God knows where it could be on the big bad interwebs. So Pixie sent him the match. The process is, again, really easy. You get an email from Pixie, or you go to the pixie.com website and just go through your matches. And Jared found the match, and according to him, the process was very simple of start a case. You filled out these forms online, and I think he said about 3 weeks or a month later, Pixie sent him a check for £3,000. And in the meantime, there was a bunch of emails. I've done the same thing. I found a couple of my images on pixie.com that were being used in an unauthorized way. One of them actually stolen from the point of view of the photographer said it was his image, and I can prove that it wasn't, of an image that I never would have known otherwise was being used on this website. But pixie.com does a really interesting and, I will say, a good job of keeping me updated step by step by step. I put in my claim 2 weeks ago, and I've gotten 7 emails from Pixie updating me on what's going on. I've got a case manager. I've got a case number. I'm being told seemingly every step of the way, this is where we're at. This is where we're going. This is what we are working towards. I think it's a very interesting process that photographers don't necessarily know the business end of copyright of image theft. Let Pixie take care of the legal aspects of protecting your photos.
Absolutely. And you know, at the end of the day, that's what we do. That's our profession. You know, the customers we represent, nor should they have to spend their day worrying about this topic. You know, we'll automatically find them for you. We'll notify you when we've got the matches. And if you want us, if you want Pixie to act as your agent and solve this on your behalf, you know, we're working for you. So we keep you up to date the whole way along. You know, you can ask questions, give us feedback. Yep. That's how we like to operate.
The other aspect that Jared pointed out that I thought was very funny, he said, yeah, the fee seemed high, but it's 50% of an amount he wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So he could get 100% of nothing or 50% of free money. And literally Jared went out and bought himself a motorcycle suit with that money. It was like free money. He was like, whoa, and ran out and just blew it. He just blew the whole lot on a new motorcycle suit. But it was an interesting idea because, like I said, he didn't know that they were using his image. It was some obscure website in Asia was using one of his motorcycle photography shots. And he never would have found out that this was happening. And they were using it either intentionally, they didn't know that it was Jared's photo, or they were actually stealing it. That being said, how can a photographer protect themselves at the beginning of the process? We want to put stuff online. We want people to see our images. We want people to comment on our images and tell us how beautiful they are. But there's an attitude quite often on the internet that if it's on the internet, it's free. If I can see it on the internet, I can control click on it, download it, put it on my blog, those kinds of things. How does a photographer protect themselves at the beginning of the process?
Well, we hear this problem a lot. The internet is a big dark place, and this right-click mentality or this Google image search download mentality exists. And unfortunately, it exists in business, which we really frown upon.
Yep.
We feel the best way is active protection, which is like the fine product with Pixie. You know, you synchronize your platform as you upload new photos. We're importing them or we're delivering new matches against them. So this active protection certainly is one of the most foolproof ways. Other popular ways are watermarking. However, as we know, a watermark can be cropped out of a photo.
Yeah.
Google has even developed AI, which automatically removes the watermark.
Thanks, Google!
Which is a little bit scary.
Yeah.
We want our customers, we want people on the internet to be able to share and share appropriately. So we certainly recommend having the right attribution under the photos. If they're being used, if you're posting them online, have clear terms. Say that, you know, this photo is not for use.
Yep.
It's all rights reserved. Display what kind of license is available for this. Maybe you're happy for it to be used in a non-commercial way. So
yep.
A Creative Commons type license would be perfect for this. Put out, you know, how you're comfortable for it to be used. And then if it's not used in those ways, you've got the support of Pixie and our search engine and our team to help you, deal with that if it's not used as you set out for it to be.
Yeah, the images that were used of mine, they were on Flickr, and they do have a Creative Commons license on it. Flickr is very good about allowing you to use different levels of Creative Commons. And mine was Most rights reserved, can't be used commercially, and must have attribution. It must say Sean King, Starting Point Photography, or whatever it might be. And this photographer didn't do that. Not only did he not do that, the photos are on a commercial website, and they've got his name attached to them. So in other words, he's taking credit for those photos. And that's where Pixie came in. They first of all showed me this. This was, on an obscure website that I never would have seen otherwise. Pixie showed it to me, that it was there. And then by clicking one button and answering some questions about the aspects of this theft, Pixie has started a case file for me and is now working through their process, whatever the back end of that process might be. But it's completely hands-off for me. I don't got to worry about it. I don't got to think, oh, I got to deal with lawyers. I got to find someone in copyright law and all that kind of stuff. So from that point of view, it's a really easy process to do. Every morning I get up, I sit here with my coffee. I go to Pixie.com. I check my matches. It also shows you, interestingly enough, when your images are being used legally. When I first saw the image, I went, oh my God, someone's stealing it. And then I realized, no, it's on Getty Images. And it's on Getty Images all over the world. One particular shot I took in Mexico of the beach. It's a beautiful shot of canoes and sunrise and all that kind of stuff. And it pops up all over Getty Images. And I thought, oh my goodness. No, I didn't sell that to Getty Images. But Pixie showed me that the image is coming from another service that I use that licenses their photos to Getty Images. So it's all above board and completely legal. I freaked out to begin with, but because of the way the Pixie website was set up, I very quickly learned, oh no, I've done this because these companies are licensing these photos among each other. On your website, Pixie.com, you say 49%, when it comes to stolen images, 49% of them are by bloggers and social media users. And I got to bet that the vast majority of those folks just don't know what the rules are. That they don't know they're not allowed to just grab any photo off the internet and post it on their blog. They're especially not allowed to represent it as their own photo. But even if you wanted to grab one of my pictures and post it on your website, you still have to give credit to people. I think that's part of the education process that we don't have in social media and with bloggers, that if you didn't take the picture, folks, it ain't your picture. Get permission from the photographer.
Exactly. And I think, you know, we're in a society now where, you know, pictures and videos are the main content that's being shared online. That's, you know, it's the vast majority of what makes up social media. It's the vast majority of what makes up websites and blogs. It's this visual content. And, you know, you're very right. It looks great on websites. People want to use it, but use it in the right way.
Yeah.
It was someone's work. They created it. They may have, you know, they may have had some very expensive camera gear involved, years of training and perfecting their craft to develop, make that photo. And, you know, if you're happy for blogs to use it, as long as you're credited, that's how it should be.
Yeah.
We find it really interesting when we do talk to these companies or these people who are using the imagery. And once we sort of explain to them and clarify some of their misconceptions, you know, they do realize that there is ways to use it correctly.
Yep.
And often we'll point them to education articles, we'll point them to you know, the Creative Commons type licenses. We're not sort of all about just being the police here. We very much want to be the educator as well. So we're trying to help educate image owners, the people who are making the stuff, how they can put the work online and protect themselves well. But we also want to educate the image users how to use it correctly, when to have a license, you know, how to correctly attribute these types of things.
One of the interesting things I learned on the Pixie.com website that I didn't realize, there's always this debate among photographers is, does watermarking actually work? Does it prevent people? No. As you said earlier, even Google image search has got artificial intelligence that will remove your watermark. But you make a good point on Pixie.com. 68% of photographers had their watermark removed. However, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Removing a watermark may increase your case settlement by 20%. You say, in fact, of the one-fifth of photographers who had their watermark removed, they earned $1,000 plus fighting image theft in 2016. And what that means is that when your watermark is removed, it's easier to prove malice on the part of the individual. They saw the watermark, they cropped it out, they knew this wasn't their photo, they cropped out your image mark. So that helps Pixie being able to say, hey, these people deserve to get monetary damages because you are being more malicious in your use of this image. Is that correct?
Correct, yes. So, I mean, if you're modifying the image, if you're cropping out a watermark, if you're changing, as you say, cropping out a watermark is malus, trying to mask the true ownership of the photo here. And, you know, the owner has put that watermark on there to help protect their intellectual property rights. And in the law, there is protection, there is damages, there is clear procedure for when this does happen. But, you know, we also see other types of modifications on the photo. And this also, in certain jurisdictions, can add value to any type of legal claim you might have.
I've heard many people say, you know, that the reason why they edited the watermark out was because it made the photo look uglier. I didn't like the way the watermark looked. Too bad. It's not your photo. It's something, again, that we have to get in the minds of bloggers, social media, and those other folks, that's still my image. Yes, you're looking at it on your computer, but I created that image. That image is automatically copyrighted by me just by my act of creating it. You can't do anything to it without my permission, unless it's in an artistic way, and that's a whole different thing. But if you just grab the image, put it on your website, crop out the watermark, you are destroying the, lack of a better term, artistic integrity of my image, and that's not allowed unless I've specifically given you permission. That being said, can you explain copyright to our American and Canadian audience? I know the laws are different all over the place, but let's narrow down that to the U.S. and Canada here in North America. Am I right when I say that copyright is automatic when you create the image? You can do more, but you automatically have your image copyrighted when you create it.
Absolutely. So at the moment of creation, any artistic work or any work at the moment of creation, the ownership is assigned to the person who created that work. So in photography, the person that holds the camera, pushes the button, captures that image, they automatically assign the copyrights. Yeah. In Canada and in the US, they both have copyright offices. So the US Copyright Office is a secondary step and a step that we certainly promote our photographers to do, where you can register it with the US Copyright Office. You get a certificate and you are the legal owner of that work with a proven certificate from the government agency. There's a very similar office in Canada. In the US, for example, you can upload and have bulk amount of photos per registration. So I think you can upload 750 photos per registration.
Yeah.
So for about $55 to $65, I believe, you can protect 750 photos. And any single use of your photo in a commercial way, you have statutory damages available to you. So that ranges anywhere from about $750 up to $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
So just one photo infringement would pay for that copyright registration 10 times over as a minimum.
But to be clear, you don't have to do that, folks. If you're just a hobbyist photographer, you're just an Instagrammer, you don't have to do that. It's also a little bit restricting. They've just recently changed the rules to 750 maximum images that you can copyright, pay to have copyright. That's going to affect professional photographers. But for us hobbyists, talented amateurs, you don't have to worry about that. Your case is stronger if you've actually gone and done that effort of copywriting it, and you will get more monetary damages if you have your images officially copyrighted. But again, it's copyrighted by law as soon as you push that button. That's your photo, and you own that photo. Now, I wanted to be specific about North America and Canada because the laws are different all over the world. And I think it's one of the advantages of Pixie. If I'm sitting here on the Sunshine Coast in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. We're talking to the COO of Pixie.com, PIXSY.com, Kane Jones. He's in Berlin. The laws are going to be different all over the place. And interestingly enough, some of them are very, very bizarre. For example, Hungary, Hungary banned taking photos of people on the street. Street photography, the thing that I do the most of. Just walking down the street taking a picture of someone is illegal in Hungary. It's also, as I read on the Pixie.com website, illegal, I think, in the Netherlands and also Spain. So you don't know the laws in every country that your photo might show up. Maybe some guy in Germany has grabbed one of my Flickr images. I don't know what the law is in Germany. I don't speak German. I don't know any German lawyers. So it's really nice to have the folks at Pixie.com go, hey, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. We know the law. We've got law firms in Germany or in France or in the U.S. those guys know the law. Let them take care of it and tell, and they'll tell you, no, this is not an infringing copyright violation, or yes, this is. Yes, you can get money out of it, or no, you can't. Again, Pixie takes all that back end stuff out of the loop, so you don't have to worry about it. Is there a way for photographers to find out these kinds of things for Kane? For example, I want to go to a country and take photos. Is there a website that will tell me, yes, you can do this, you can't do this, don't do this kind of stuff?
I haven't found a website that, I guess, it goes into as much detail as, you know, can you take photos on street with, you know, faces detected, yeah, or faces visible in that photo. There's a number of really good forums online. Our blog, we have a lot of interesting content on there. There's some other sites that I, you know, personally like to keep up to date on, IP Explorer, you know, Petapixel, ASMP. There's a number of sites which are more towards the professional end of photography and, yeah, the more in-depth knowledge of intellectual property. But as you say, if you're based in North America, you're based in Canada, and you've got a photo, you know, you find one commercial match in Australia, another one in Japan, another one in Spain, another one in Germany. Yeah. For you to go out and understand these legal landscapes, the legislation, for you to engage a law firm, for you to in many cases having to upfront or pay a deposit for these law firms to even, sure, touch your case, to even, yeah, assess it, we that's where we take all that away from you. Yeah. It shouldn't be that difficult, and it isn't. And, you know, we have the speciality there to you know, give you that sort of global protection.
And the other great aspect of this is, as I said earlier, these are photos that you wouldn't have known were being lifted off Flickr or Instagram otherwise, because these aren't your professional photos that you sold to National Geographic or whatever it might be. Or even if you're just a talented amateur, you don't have the time. You've got a real job. You don't have the time to go out to all these places and try to find your images. Having Pixie.com take care of that back end stuff is very, very freeing. What I'll say to you, Kane, is, the folks at Pixie.com have a blog that's a lot of interesting articles on there. Hire me to travel the world, and I'll find this information out for you. All right? I will do that for you. You know, out of the kindness of my heart. I will go to Vietnam and ask people, hey, can I take a pic? No? Okay, fine. Write it on. But it is a difficult thing. It's something I do tell folks when they are doing travel photography, when they're just going on vacation. Do a little bit of research on Google, find out if you're allowed to. Hungary seems like a country that the people wouldn't have a problem you taking pictures of them on the street, and it's lightly enforced, but still, you don't want a Hungarian police officer coming up to you and demanding your camera, or whatever remedies the law requires there. That would be an awful situation for you as a vacationer to do. You see a person standing in front of a church, you take their picture, you're not allowed to do that. So you got to find out what the rules and laws and regulations are in each country that you go to. So it's as difficult for the vacationing travel photographer as it is for the professionals to try to find out what the laws are in different places. And having someone like Pixie.com do that stuff on your behalf is, like I said, very freeing for me. It was great to see these emails from Pixie.com saying, hey, this is where we're at in the process. This is where we're going. All I got to do is read them. I don't got to do anything. I don't got to fill up more forms or give evidence to a law court, things like that. When notices are sent to offenders, no matter what country they are, does Pixie.com find most of the time people are going, oh, sorry, didn't know, and taking the photo down? Or is there a lot of pushback from these websites who have grabbed these images?
Both ends of the spectrum. We have, very big companies that come back fighting. We have very small companies or individuals that are operating small businesses who are extremely apologetic. And, you know, everywhere on that spectrum, yeah, our case management team are very used to, diffusing the situation where they can. And we're used to the arguments. We're every day defending our photographers, defending our customers, explaining to the image using companies that, you know, just because you right clicked on Google doesn't mean that it's free content. Yep. And yes, just because your receptionist or your marketing coordinator uploaded that, at the end of the day, you're the business owner.
Yep.
There's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of confusion, not just, from the people who are taking these photos and putting them online, but also the people who are, acquiring them and putting them on their website, there's a lot of misconceptions. Yeah. And that's where we see a big role in our position here, is to help educate and, you know, defending the rights and having these negotiations and what am I trying to say? Challenging conversations with the image using companies. It shouldn't be what you should be spending your day doing.
Exactly.
That's what we're here for. That's you know, where we earn our fee is by defending your claim correctly and recovering compensation, getting the best solution out of this for you, and defending your rights here.
And it's certainly easier for Pixie.com to have that challenging conversation than it would be for me. I don't live in that country. I don't speak that language. I don't know anything about the law in general, let alone specifically to photography in Hungary or Spain or Germany or that kind of stuff. So for you guys to be able to go out there and however gently or non-gently, plus the other side of it is, if I send an email to someone, it's easy to ignore. If a law firm sends an email to you, you're generally going to pay attention.
Exactly, and that's what we find. You know, you necessarily don't want that sort of reputation of sending these letters. You know, we do find that sometimes the image using companies, the image users, will, you know, write a blog post online and say, "Oh, you know, Pixie's come after me X amount of dollars, and how unfair is that?"
That's right.
I'm only making $1,000 a month on advertising on my website. I shouldn't, you know, I should be able to use it for free.
Yeah.
And for us, we, you know, we don't really mind that bad press. That's us doing our job.
Exactly.
For you as a creative, you probably don't want that associated with you and your work. And you know, that's why we're here.
You're good. Folks, I've been talking to the COO of Pixie.com, P-I-X-S-Y.com, Kane Jones. Thank you very much. Kane, I could keep talking to you about this stuff for hours. I know you're busy, but I really appreciate you guys coming on. Again, Pixie.com, if you've got any photos online, folks, if you're an Instagrammer, if you're a Facebooker, if you're a Flickr user, it doesn't cost anything to sign up to Pixie.com, so you might as well. And it is kind of interesting to see where your photos might end up literally around the world. I found some of my photos in Japan. I found them here in Vancouver. I found them in the United States. Sometimes that's okay. Sometimes it's not. If you put a little bit of effort into the Pixie.com website, and it's not a lot of effort at all. It's a few minutes every morning where I go through my photos to see what Pixie.com has found. Maybe you can be lucky like my friend Jared Earl and get £3,000. Maybe you get $100. Who knows? But it's money you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Think of it that way. It's free money. Just for a few minutes of logging on, signing up to Pixie.com, you might, there's no guarantees about any of this stuff, but at least you're doing something more proactive to protect your images and to protect your artistic creations in your photography. Kane Jones of Pixie.com, thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you.